Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So let's continue on where we left last time. Can godless men outlaw sin when they reject God? No, they can't. What happens? It multiplies. And what happens? It is defined down. Deviancy is defined down lower and lower and lower. And the moral standards of everybody are so compromised that anyone who wants to do the truth makes himself an enemy. Anyone who wants to preach what God really wants is against God. So this world is completely upside down, and so upside down, and so backward, and so filled with evil, and then people all of a sudden want to have the love of God, want to have the blessing of God, but they're not willing to accept the truth of God. So let's continue on here in Isaiah 58 so that we can understand what is really happening, because it comes down to our own individual lives. Do you love God? And how do you love Him? Have you repented to Him? Do you understand what your life has been? And do you realize that only by following God and living His way can sin be minimized? It's never going to be outlawed by law. It is never going to be done away with by the efforts of men. Because, you see, the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So how then can the human mind, even though it thinks that every way that he does is right, every way that she does is right, how can you get rid of sin? Well, let's see how God says the situation is and how bad it really is, and that it's going to become. Because, you see, God tells His servants to do this. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. He says, "Cry aloud, do not spare, lift up your voice like a ram's horn, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." And that's what we do on Church at Home. Because, you see, you cannot come to God unless you repent of your sins. You cannot receive the blessings of God unless you are keeping His commandments. Now, you may do things better if you come part way, but part way doesn't work. Remember this. There are two cliffs with a big gap in between. And down below, 5,000 feet below, is the bottom of the canyon. Now, to get from one side to the other side, it's got to be 100% so you land over here, correct? Now, what if it's 95% and you just miss it? Well, you go all the way to the bottom, you see. So the truth is, you cannot take the lying nature of man and judge God and accuse Him and then turn around and say, God did away with the law, Jesus did away with the law, which is a lie, and then turn around and say, well, now, how about if we keep 8 of the 10 commandments? How would that be? Well, it's like going 80% and you don't get to the other side. Now, you may have a nicer trip when you're coming across, but sooner or later it's going to catch up with you, which is what has happened to the world and our society, and especially here in America. Our sins are catching up with us. And the judgment of God comes automatic. It's like the law of gravity. You sin, there are immediate consequences within your mind. You continue sinning, and you build up those consequences within your mind. And sooner or later, you're rebelling against God. Sooner or later, you don't want to hear about God. But God says to those who preach His word, cry aloud, do not spare, lift up your voice like a ram's horn, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily, seem eager to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and one that did not forget the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, they seem eager to be near to God. Oh, yes. We have a religion? Oh, I've been a Protestant all my life. Hooray, so have my folks. I've been a Catholic all my life. Oh, well, we hate each other. No, we have an ecumenical movement, so we will love each other. Do you love God? Do you keep His commandments? You see? You see the trap that people find themselves in because they follow a religion and not the Word of God. Let's come down here, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. What is the advice that God gives as the first thing to start with? Probably the hardest thing for most people to do, though it seems easy. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, now what does that mean? Well, he explains it. From doing your own desires on my holy day. It's a holy day. The seventh day Sabbath, called Saturday, today. That's where you start. It's reckoned from sundown to sundown. Now evaluate yourself. How many activities do you and your family have on Friday night and Saturday? See, Satan has filled the day with activities and important things and sales, all to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's not from God. This is why God says, show my people their sins and their transgressions. Because you can't outlaw sin. You cannot outlaw evil. You cannot legislate righteousness because it must come from within by choice. God has already legislated the righteousness that He honors. And the righteousness that men legislate through their laws and their traditions while rejecting God does not work. But you need to understand that. You need to evaluate that. As you read the Bible, as maybe you listen to other religious programs or video cast or telecast, do they really go by the Word of God? Now, you can say, well, we're New Testament. Yes, we are. But original Christianity, all of them kept the Sabbath. Well, they were Jews. After 42 A.D., the Gentiles came in, and they kept the Sabbath. So if you're hung up on all of the arguments of the Christianity of this world, you need the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. Because you need to understand that Judaism not only rejected Christ, but by their own traditions have rejected the commandments of God. That's what Jesus said. Now, let me give you a little test you might want to do in your life, which is this. If you have never kept the Sabbath, and remember, the Sabbath begins at sunset Friday until sunset Saturday. You begin observing it in your home. You watch various church at home segments that we have done. You study your Bible. you go to our series that we have done on Church at Home concerning the Sabbath. And also, you can go to cbcg.org, and we have a whole series of long video sermons on refuting Sunday keeping. So, most people don't understand how much they have missed. Most people do not have a grasp of what they are really doing. So, my challenge to you is this. You keep the Sabbath at home for 1 month and study about the Sabbath, Old Testament and New Testament. Everything that Jesus did in the New Testament, like healing on the Sabbath and things like that, did not do away with the Sabbath. And in John, the 5th chapter, where the translators of the King James Version said, and Jesus was accused of breaking the Sabbath, therefore, he did away with it. That is ludicrous thinking. He loosed a foolish traditional law of the Jews that the man who had the infirmity for 38 years could pick up his bedroll and carry it. And they said that was breaking the Sabbath. And so what did Jesus say? He told the man, go and sin no more. He told him to carry it. The Jews came to him and said, why did you tell him to do that? You have broken the Sabbath. And what did Jesus say? My Father works, and I am working, because there is spiritual work to be done on the Sabbath. Healing the sick, relieving those who are in pain, helping the fatherless, taking care of the widows. All of those things, as well as learning of God, as well as studying His Word. So what He says here, let's read that again. Let's see if you can do this. Verse 13, if you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. You will find out about God, because that's the day that he gave so you can find out about him. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Because then you will begin having the first step in understanding the plan of God. Now let's see what Jesus said concerning the Sabbath. That men do not have jurisdiction over the Sabbath. Men cannot come along and say, oh, the Sabbath day has been done away, which they claim, but has not been. Has the law of gravity been done away? Has the law of gravity been exiled? Has the law of gravity ceased to be? Well, Jesus said, don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill, to make them full of meaning and understanding, not to do away with. And he said, till heaven and earth shall pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Has the whole plan of God been fulfilled? No. Now, let's come to Mark, the 2nd chapter, because I know there will be some people saying, well, he is just reading the Old Testament. I know that. But what did Paul say to Timothy concerning the Old Testament? He said that you have known the holy writings from a child, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Did you know that for the first part of the New Testament church, they didn't have the New Testament? They began compiling the Gospels, as we find in Acts, the 6th chapter. They followed the laws that were in the Bible, not the laws of Judaism. So you see, don't believe all of the nice-sounding words, which are not true, And if they're not true, that means they're lies. Verse 27, he said, the Sabbath was made for man. God made it as the connecting day between God and man, where God puts his spirit for those who are seeking him, for those who are studying his word, for those who are learning how to love him, for those who are learning how to straighten out their lives by loving God and keeping his commandments. That day was created for man for that purpose. Now notice what Jesus said, and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, no man has any jurisdiction over the Sabbath day, much less claim that the apostles and Jesus abolished it. Never happened. So you see, when I ask the question, how many lies have you believed? And how deceitful is your own human nature? You see, it cuts right to the quick so that you can see what you need to do. Do you want the blessings of God? Do you want the love of God? Do you want the protection of God? Do you want, in these days that we are living in, so God can place his angels around you to watch over you? Notice what he says here in verse 28. Now, as I read this, I want you to understand that the Lord God of the Old Testament was not God the Father, but it was the one who became Jesus Christ. And Christ came to reveal the Father. And we will cover that in future segments. Verse 28, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now, think about that. Before you get all upset that I'm coming against what the Christianity of this world holds as sacred. Those are the teachings of men and not of God. Now let's go to John the 12th chapter. Let's understand that Jesus didn't say one thing but what he was commanded to say. So when he says he's Lord of the Sabbath, that is the one who created the time called the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, which is called Saturday today. John, the 12th chapter, verse 37. Although he had done many miracles in their presence, they did not believe him. See, people think if there's a miracle, oh yes, that's wonderful. But they still didn't believe him. So that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, who said, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this very reason, they could not believe, because again Isaiah said, notice, Old Testament scriptures from the book of Isaiah, which we have been reading from. Correct? Yes, indeed. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they would not see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I would heal them. Because, see, if you turn away your ear from hearing the law, if you turn your eyes away from the Word of God, if you let your emotions go contrary to what God says you should do, you automatically put blinders on. You automatically put deaf ears on. So that's important for you to understand, because I know there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, the Old Testament was done away. Everything in the Old Testament was fulfilled. A lie. Not true. Some of it was. Let's go on. Verse 41, Isaiah said these things when he saw his glory and spoke concerning him. But even so, many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him so that they might not be put out of the synagogue. Exactly the same problem we have today. There are a lot of people who know the word of God. Every Sunday-keeping minister knows that Saturday is the Sabbath. But because of their denominational preferences and their traditions, well, they stand up in the pulpit and say, "Brethren, God says we should keep the Sabbath, which is the seventh day. Now, we've been here on Sunday for, lo, these many years, and I'm going to start obeying Jesus Christ and keep the seventh day Sabbath. So next week, if you want to hear a sermon, you come here on Saturday."
Sunday is a European fabrication.
Amen. Come on.
All right.
Of the European, by the European, and for the European.
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't know that? I just told you. Sixtus was a European. He introduced Sunday. Victor, a European. He pushed it higher. Constantine, a European. Italian. He made it law. Our ancestors preserved the Sabbath. Shabbat. Sabbaton. Sabbaton. Saturday, seventh day, the day that was hung into creation, last day of the week.
I only know of a few ministers who have done that, very few. Why? For they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. Isn't that the way it is? And isn't that why we have the lawlessness? Isn't that why we have the rebellion? Isn't that why God lays the first blame of a lawless society upon those who profess to teach his word? And God's judgment is coming upon them every day with the destruction of what is called Christianity in this world. So you go back and go over the segments we have done, how the Christian world has been deceived. Now let's finish off this portion of John 12. Then Jesus called out and said, "The one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me, the Father. And he came to reveal the Father." And that's the greatest thing that can ever be in your life, which we'll have a lot to say about in other segments. Let's go on. "And the one who sees me sees him who sent me." You want God to appear before you? He came in the flesh, and all of his words are recorded here. "I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness." Are you in darkness? Are you coming out of darkness? Are you turning to God? Who is the prince of darkness but Satan the devil? See, you've got to answer all those questions. Notice verse 47, "But if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Notice what he says after that. "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word which I have spoken, that shall judge him in the last day." Mm-hmm. And since Jesus was the one who spoke the Ten Commandments, by what standard do you think he's going to judge you? Think about it. Notice also verse 49, "For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment himself." Direct from the Father. Every word that is recorded, what Jesus spoke, are the words of God the Father. You want to reject the sovereign of the universe and expect your life to not be filled with trouble and difficulty? What I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life, therefore, whatever I speak exactly as the Father has told me. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe the truth? Do you really? Are you moved enough to repent of your sins? Are you moved enough to come to God in repentance on your knees, confess your sins, and start loving God and obeying God and keeping His commandments? Really? This is what is confronting all of us today, and these are the choices that God is looking to. He has called for repentance. He has called for change. He has called for the leaders to change. He has called for the nation to follow Him, but they won't do it. Will you? Now, you need to write in for our booklet on baptism. And Lord, what should I do? And we have over 50 articles right on the homepage that you can download. Now, you need to get serious about the truth of God. Not just curious, but serious. And you need to come to God the way that He says. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. There we have many, many in-depth sermons that cover almost the entire Bible. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.